This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to Infowars.com, and this is Dr. Nick Begich sitting in this last hour, Wednesday, the first broadcast day, January 2nd, 2019. You know, just as the last segment was going off here, someone was talking about foundations, you know, the idea of setting up foundations, and a couple of reminders for the public and others out there. Number one, foundations, tax-exempt foundations, 501c3s, just so you know, they don't get political speech. In fact, if you engage in political speech with a 501c3, they jerk your status away as a nonprofit. In fact, I would assert that foundations, the concept of them, was to silence multi-generational speech in this sense. Think of public corporations or any other corporation. According to the U.S. Supreme Court, they have free speech rights. They can do whatever they want, engage politically, etc. They get a lower tax rate, too. They only pay 20% federal income taxes, C corporations, standard corporations. On their offshore revenues and subsidiaries, thanks to Trump, we tax them something, but we only tax them 15%, less than half of the top rate for the rest of us that are breathing oxygen, living souls. But why I mention all this is for a couple of reasons. First of all, if you're thinking about transferring big chunks of wealth into nonprofits for tax reasons, I say render under Caesar what is Caesar's. Just pay the tax and then give freely your political voice wherever you want to launch it. But don't do it in a foundation because you won't have anyone. Now, you can have 501c4s that have political speech, but they don't have deductibility, but they have a bunch of other restrictions. But given the U.S. Supreme Court has given the right of breathing to corporations, be one of them. If you're going to do something, you get a lower tax rate. You can offshore your offshore revenue. If you got revenue from offshore, set up a subsidiary. You can bring it in legitimately as long as, here's the other little catch, folks, you don't own more than 5% of your corporation. See, that's the way the big corporations get away with it, because most of them aren't owned or consolidated by a shareholder that holds 5% of these gazillion-dollar corporations, so they can do all that. You can't unless you break it up, you know, pretty finally. But anyway, you can still be a corporation. You can pay your 20% taxes domestically and have free political speech, something you can't have with a 501c3 nonprofit. So keep your political speech. It's worth it. Give the government their money. I don't know if that's worth it all the time, but do it. And then keep your political speech. So as for foundations. Now, on the corporate side, something a lot of people miss, and a really important point here. Corporations, when you have shareholders, some of them may be minority shareholders, and they have certain rights. And majority shareholders and officers have certain rights and also responsibilities. One of them is called a fiduciary responsibility. It's responsibility as leadership to all shareholders, including the minority shareholders. So let me give you an example. Say you're a corporation and you invent this incredible technology that'll change the world. And you got a private investment on one side of $1 million. And then the government comes in, maybe the Pentagon comes in and says, hey, we'll give you $10 million. And you say, well, I don't like what you're going to do with it, you know, Mr. Pentagon or Mr. DARPA or whoever you are. So I'm not going to take the $10 million. I'm going to do the $1 million and develop my business. Well, if you have minority shareholders, they can bring a suit against you for not taking the best move for them. You know, your fiduciary responsibility is to follow the corporation's charter, which is generally to make money. Now, you can write charters differently, and we're headed into the break. And if you write your charter differently, you can protect your right to do what you want based on a value system that's bigger than money. Right after the break, I want to get into this just a little bit because, you know, the last segment triggered this conversation about nonprofits, and it's an important issue. Going into the new year, a lot of new corporations getting set up. So let's talk about the fiduciary responsibility of small corporations, big corporations, into the next hour. This is Dr. Nick Begich, and we're here on InfoWars.com.
It's really hard to have the energy at the end of the day to still get to the gym or to go for a run or go to the park or heck, even take your dog for a walk. Believe me, I know. I spend hours in front of a screen and then hours in front of bright lights every day. But thanks to Super Male Vitality at InfoWarsStore.com, I still have that energy. There's no way I could have the energy at the end of a long day to fight back against the chemicals and the food and water, to fight back against the modern day lifestyle with the screen time and the extended hours, to still have the stamina and endurance, energy and drive to get to the gym, get to the park, and get exercise that you need for your health. So go to InfoWarsStore.com and get Super Male Vitality before it's gone. This is actually our last run of Super Male Vitality. So I want you to experience Super Male Vitality before it's too late.
Unleash the Super Male in you. Super Male Vitality. InfoWarsStore.com.
Listening to The Alex Jones Show with Nick Begich.
Now, welcome back to InfoWars, January 2nd, 2019. Just before the break, and it was really not so much planned to talk about corporations and nonprofits and for-profit corporations, but the last segment, there was a caller that was asking this question, you know, about why not set up a foundation? And I'm talking about political speech and what foundations, some of their limits. And then I was leaving off with corporations. You know, corporations do have free speech, according to the U.S. Supreme Court. They pay less in taxes, so it's not a bad vehicle. I still say render under Caesar what is Caesar's, give them the 20% corporate tax and keep the change, and then go use it and keep your political speech intact, because that's worth preserving. A tax deduction isn't worth giving it up. The other part is the value part of a corporation, no matter whether it's publicly traded or privately held. The minority shareholders have certain rights, and they have to do with the profitability of the corporation, unless your charter, those governing documents when you form your corporation, set something different in motion. You know, in other words, if you have a charter that sets your highest value as doing some public good, but you're a for-profit corporation, and then you're clearly stating in your charter that your purpose of your for-profit corporation is this public good thing as a priority, or this thing as a priority, whatever those value statements are. And then under that, somewhere down the list, is profitability and money and making money and distributing money to a shareholder. Now, if you lay it out properly in your charter, and everybody gets a charter when they, you know, get your stock and your corporation have access to it, then everybody knows what the game is going in, and they invest in those values and ideas and profitability, but in a certain order. And I think that's important for people to know. Beginning of the year, setting up new businesses, contemplating new enterprises, why don't you lay it on a platform of values first, so the living soul of that corporation, which is you, continue to drive it. Because otherwise, you're subject to what are called minority lawsuits, small shareholders that decide they don't like what you're doing based on profitability only. They can sue you in court. They will win. And unless you can cough up the money for the difference in what they lost, don't do it. You know. So anyway, just a bit of advice on corporations, having heard that last little bit. But I want to get into a couple of other issues, you know, that are off that topic and more in some of the discussion of the day. You know, during the break today and during the last segment also, there was a discussion. Donald Trump talked about oil prices and what he's done in the oil sector, which for the rest of the country has been great. He's kept the price of oil down, kept the price of gasoline down. I was just in Austin. In fact, Austin in Southern California, just got home a couple days ago, been gone for almost 4 weeks, so it's a bit of a surprise to be back in the snow. But, you know, having traveled around looking at gas prices, it certainly is down and low. In Alaska, this has sort of an adverse effect. But I want to talk about oil prices in terms of infrastructure right now, because that gets into the government side of the question. You know, in Canada right now, there's tar sands that they were trying to build a pipeline south of the United States into the ports and into places where it can be processed. Now they're trying to build something across Canada, BC. That looks like it's going forward. And the reason is that oil locked up in British Columbia, very expensive to extract. They're getting a fraction of the world market because the transportation costs. Right now it's being sent in tankers, you know, railroad tankers to exit. You know, and this is normally pipeline product. So when you think of West Coast crude oil, there's a premium on it right now. Alaska's getting above the U.S. and global oil market right now because there's a shortage on the West Coast of oil products. So, you know, it's weird how this works, but transportation corridors and pipelines increase the value in the ground of oil, which increases tax revenues to producers, etc. Otherwise, it gets eaten up in the tariffs for transportation charged by rail or pipelines being much more efficient and effective. Why I bring this up, again, is in the context of national policy. When you think about oil prices and their fluctuation, how that affects the nation, it's not just oil and gas as in gasoline, and then gas as in natural gas that runs things like power plants. I want you to think for a moment the position of Alaska. And think for a moment of data centers as a technology, and they require a couple of things. Data centers require prodigious amounts of energy, power, in raw form, and they require a lot of that energy primarily for cooling things down. Now, in Alaska, a lot of people don't know this, but when you think of infrastructure here, the technocracy has put some in, and some private sector has put some in. That's now bankrupt and been absorbed by others, but fiber optic cables going all the way across the North Slope of Alaska, and what you can do there, if you tap natural gas in place there, don't even build a pipeline, just tap the natural gas in place and build data centers and use the energy using magnetohydrodynamic generators, which are very efficient. You take the gas out of the ground, run it through filters to pull off moisture and any other particles, and then run it straight into turbines and produce electrical power very efficiently at that location. And then from there, take that energy and utilize it in data centers. And then because you're on the North Slope of Alaska and for a good deal of the year, it's what we call cold. I mean, really, really cold. You're looking at the GC Rural Network existing proposed microwave fiber optic links, and the fiber optic links are there. You know, and when you think about it, this is a way to really capitalize on, A, it being cold and not taking much energy. You just suck in the air from outside, filter it for moisture, and cool your systems, but also the raw power. And you can plug that into the country. Now, the infrastructure of information being the backbone of that. Now, if you combine this conceptually with what else Alaska has within a modern culture, you know, it's information, transportation, communication systems that drive so much of our modern culture. I've been saying this since I was in my late teens, you know, and I'm 60 now, so a long time. And I've watched it emerge. Now, Alaska sits also with one of the major factors of production, and these are minerals and natural resources and land. This is one of the four factors of economic production that I've covered in other segments. We're going to cover it again today as a refresher, and again, to tie information together about what modern infrastructure is, beyond what we think of as the internet or data centers, although Alaska as a national resource holds a great deal here. Because you can cut the consumption of energy dramatically by locating those data centers here, because they consume so much power for cooling. And secondly, you can tap the energy in place from natural gas straight into that use, which is the optimum value added. Everybody benefits. Lowest cost per unit, eliminating the transport and being very efficient on the use of the energy. And then you free up those energy resources in other locations where they are on the power grid. See, Alaska's not on the grid. We're off the grid. We're one-fifth of the nation running an independent power grid. And then throughout our state are several separate power grids within the state, which is duplicity in some sense, but also maintains our system even when backbones go down, because we can operate. This is a different concept of energy. Instead of the big giant hydro projects, even the idiots up here are thinking in that direction when they should be thinking in small systems, smaller community-based hydro, wind, and some of the alternatives do make sense. And they make sense in every economy, including this one, including the rest of the country. We're going to be back in a few moments after the breaks. I want to remind people this is InfoWar. We're into a new year. Remember to support this network and everything that we're doing to keep the public informed on the very important issues facing our nation, our country, and our world. We'll be right back. This is Dr. Nick Begich.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation
rehabilitation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
The Alex Jones Show, because there is a war on for your mind with Nick Begich.
And welcome back. The subject matter we're covering today, jumping around a little bit, but I want to get back into this infrastructure issue and concept. Again, when you think about the wealth of the nation, you know, what can globalists not control? Let's start with that. Sort of, what do they not control? They don't control labor. That's one of the four factors of production, labor. They don't control entrepreneurship, because we all can have that. I mean, anyone can be that. That's the second factor of economic production. You can look this up in any basic economics book. This is it. The third, you know, when you think about you got labor, you've got entrepreneurship. The next is capital equipment. Now, this is stuff that builds other stuff. Now, most of us don't even have that anymore. This would be a basic set of tools, you know, because you can make things out of them. That would be capital equipment. If you're a tailor, it would have been your sewing machine. You know, if you were a butcher, it would be your knives and your grinders and all that stuff. If you're a factory, it's your factory. That's capital. It's not money. It's capital equipment, things that make other things, from shovels to big factories. And then the fourth one, and see, you can have a shovel, and you can have a big factory, and you can have a bucket and a squeegee, but you can figure out how to make a living if you have capital equipment, something, tools. So entrepreneurship, labor, and capital equipment are things everyone can have, build, and do. The other is land and natural resources, things that used to be reserved for the king. Okay, and governments, and then later figured out how to transfer some of this to individual people, and so we have private ownership, and we have a different deal going on. But we kind of canceled the deal, you know, when you think about that deal, because that deal used to provide people an access to public lands for private purposes. You bought them, you staked them, you did all kinds of things. You know, staking public land ended in the late 1960s, the last home sites you could stake in Alaska, 5-acre home sites, 5-acre commercial sites, and so on. That went away. And in Alaska, 90% of all the land is government-owned. And 9% of all the land is Native American-owned. And 1% of the remainder is individually privately owned. So it's not very much, but infrastructure that gets into the mineral and oil and gas wealth of the nation, which much of that is owned privately through staking that you and I as citizens, private citizens, can do if you're an American 18 years of age on certain federal lands and on certain state lands, and you can pay certain fees and obligations and have access to the minerals. And so you have private ownership of minerals. Oil and gas is an entirely different matter in the way it's handled in Alaska. It's government-owned and leased either by states or by the federal government. In some instances, Native oil and gas is leased, or they can develop their own. And likewise, there is some oil and gas holdings in some portion of the state that predate statehood and the restrictions on owning oil and gas privately in the West. But having said all that, infrastructure is roads, railroads, ports, power systems, power grids. Alaska's set up on separate power grids. Every community has their own power generation because we're separated by so many miles and there's no interconnecting grids. Alpha, the rail belts a little bit, but otherwise, no. When you think of mineral development, one mineral development, the Donlin Creek mine, which is scheduled for opening sometime in the next several years, they've finished most of their environmental work, but they've got a lot of construction. You know, the construction they have to build, they're going to build a 350-mile pipeline to bring natural gas to their power-generating facilities there at the Donlin mine because they need 125 megawatts. That's how much power our second largest city in Alaska, Fairbanks, uses at their peak usage. And so they're going to move it from the coast, and you'll see the Donlin Creek LLC. You can see on the map that's being shown. This is not showing where it's going, actually. It's showing corporate offices. Where it's going is across the inlet, 350 miles inland from approximately there. And this mine is huge. $56 billion in resource in 2013 pricing. Just a massive deposit owned in part by the native corporations of the region being developed by Nova Gold Resources and Barrick in partnership. And, you know, this is one of about 20. Now imagine that. We have the energy to operate these mines. We have the ability to build ports, but what we don't have is a linked rail system. You know, what would be useful for the nation is to have a linked rail system tying Alaska's mineral wealth, the wealth of the nation, literally, when you think of the four factors of economic production, land and natural resources. And there are still ways where private parties can hold these resources. But what there isn't a way right now easily is getting them to U.S. Markets where value can be added by bringing natural resources to some point of value added in Alaska and then shipping that value added resource down to the lower 48 states where it can be produced into industrial goods for use around the world. You know, the reindustrialization of America is happening. It's going to happen both good and bad on the platform of robotics and AI, and we'll get into a little of that in the next segment, but these natural resources need to find markets, and they need to be recognized as the balance sheet of the nation, not handed off to globalists for pennies on the dollar, but properly assessed, value-added, and infrastructure built in a cooperative way. The way Alaska does it is we have the Industrial Development Bonding Authority, so they bond it as a state project, roads and ports and infrastructure locally to tie it into our existing infrastructures. And then over the life of these mines, they pay off those roads and ports. Red Dog, a case in point, I mentioned it many segments in the past, a zinc mine in northern Alaska, they've paid their road and port off completely now. They've operated over 20 years. They're going to operate probably another 100 years, the way that deposit is shaping up, and they paid for the port. But we need the leg up to tie this into the rest of the nation. Rail would do tremendous good for the nation as well as the state and private organizations that can even afford to pay for part of that cost. But we need to take an innovative, creative approach, the kind of approach that the Trump administration is taking to the rest of the nation, and reassess the balance sheet of the nation and take a look at Alaska in the 21st century, because it is the foundational hope of the nation, the assets that we hold in common in Alaska. This is Dr. Nick Begich. We're going to be right back after these brief messages on Infowars.com.
The The globalists know that if they suppress the good halogen and pump the environment full of the bad halogens, fluoride, chlorine, bromine, you name it, that it lowers IQ. It literally dumbs the population down. And on our quest to bring our listeners and viewers the best iodine in the world, we've gone through two permutations. First, seaweed-based iodine that was pretty good but hard to source, and the globalists tried to block us getting a supply of it. So we discovered deep earth crystals of pure nascent iodine and brought you X2 that's been incredible. Now, due to the establishment trying to block that, we did more research and secured more of the deep earth crystals of nascent iodine. But chemists, scientists, and others showed us the research that by combining it with three other compounds, two forms of iodine and vitamin C, it supercharges it and makes it even more bioavailable. Ladies and gentlemen, you want to research it, you want to see it. It's an incredible discovery. X3, now available at InfoWarsLife.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise at GCNLive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise at GCNLive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
From Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Nick Begich. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
And welcome back. Just before the break, we were dealing a little bit with infrastructure. And, you know, during this segment, I've covered quite a bit of topical material. But getting back into the whole infrastructure equation, this is one of the basic functions of government. When you think of 20% of the nation's landmass is Alaska, just under that, and the biggest percentage of any state of federal lands. That's all of our lands in common. And within those federal lands, tremendous wealth exists, the wealth of the nation, literally, and an opportunity to really build the nation on that platform. Right now, there's probably 20 world-class mines slated for production or advanced exploration over the next 10 years. This includes rare earths in southeast Alaska, as well as gold, silver, zinc, and copper deposits in southeast, which is on tidewater. So there, ports are easy. The tidewater depth of those ports is deep. It can handle just about everything. So that's going to be a big issue, but that's an export. It's going by ship. Most of that is going to end up on other ports in the Pacific Rim. And there's two reasons for this. One is shipping by ship between U.S. ports is prohibitively expensive because of the Jones Act. Most people don't know what the Jones Act is. It was an act of Congress, goes back many, many years, and was set up to accommodate the maritime unions, the longshoremen, and others, which I understand, and to protect American shipbuilding, which is an important industry to protect. So here it goes back, the Jones Act, going back even to 1920, the Merchant Marine Act of 1920. But when you think about building of ships, what happens is, as an example, if I ship a container from China to a U.S. port, in other words, a foreign port to a U.S. port, which is exempt from the Jones Act and is allowed, I can ship a container for about $1,000. Now, I can ship that same container, not do anything to it, just turn it around at the port at Long Beach and ship it over to Maui, Hawaii, or to Honolulu, Hawaii, and my cost of that shipment is going to be about $8,000 for that container, at least $8,000. Okay, 10 times, 8 to 10 times as much to ship it from a U.S. port to a U.S. port, because it's on a U.S.-built ship, and that's the difference. You know, for the commercial side of life, that makes a pretty big difference when you're shipping things out of Alaska and Hawaii or to Alaska and Hawaii in terms of our cost for receiving U.S. goods. And unfortunately, that's one of the problems right now with shipping things to and from Alaska and why we need a railroad. You want to keep the Jones Act? Go ahead, protect U.S. shipping, but get us a railroad link, for God's sake, so we can begin to participate in the U.S. economy with 20% of the land mass and most of the mineral resources in world-class quantities and all of the rare earths and everything we're importing from somewhere else. All of those mineral imports could be ended on the back of U.S.-produced, Alaskan-produced resources, and we need an infrastructure to support that. And we need a national will to support that and a recognition that Alaska is not the stepchild of the nation. Alaska is the greatest resource of the nation in terms of land and natural resources. This is the fourth significant factor of economic production and why it's fought over by communists, by globalists, and by capitalists like the rest of us, because they all want to own that factor of production because it's not labor, it's not you and me, it's not entrepreneurship, which is again you and me, and it's not our shovels and picks and pitchforks and equipment that we can build and acquire. That's you and me. It's the land and natural resources that the big fight has always been over, whether with the king of 250 years ago or the sovereigns of the globalist community of the 21st century. It's the same fight. It's over equity, natural resources, and who gets them. And then who gets to tax the fruit of our labor? You know, we left England, eventually shed the burden of involuntary servitude. And then, when that was challenged in the U.S. Supreme Court in the form of income taxes, it was ruled unconstitutional in 1894. unconstitutional tax of man's labor because it was involuntary servitude. But the globalists, the bankers changed that, amended the Constitution, and in 1913 we got another major act of Congress that's choked us as a people, the income tax. That didn't affect the common man when it passed, because it didn't kick in until you made 25 grand, and the average guy and woman in this country didn't make anywhere near that when the average wages were probably $1 an hour for a 10-hour workday. So we didn't worry too much about the income tax. And for the very rich, 25,000 then, which today's value would be $500,000. That's where taxes started. The equivalent of $500,000 a year in income before they started in 1913. And then they ended at the modern $500,000, and back then at $500,000. At 6% top tax bracket. That was $500,000 was $30 million in today's money. So just keep it all in perspective, you know. And so corporations set up a bunch of deals. Corporate tax rate was lower. The minerals rate, they slid in something for oil and gas and minerals called depletion allowances, which cut their effective rate to half of the corporate rate. So today it's effectively 10% of their cash flow and 7.5% for their overseas revenue, not the 15 and 20% corporate tax rates. You know, we started the show on taxes and corporations and some of that, and we're ending this segment a little bit on that because I want to tie it all together again. Oil, gas, minerals, and land are the wealth of the nation. That is one of the four pillars of economic value, economic production. Again, this is something we all need to know because it's how it really works. They give us the illusion that the economy is currency, the money running between these four factors of production, the facilitator of exchange, of trade. Currency is merely that. Your credit card is merely that. Your debt instruments are merely that. They facilitate the transfer of things at some established value that people can calculate and somewhat rely on in most economies, even fiat money backed by thin air, you know, or whatever. But the point is, you know, this is how it works. So we've been served up the illusion that currency and paper, like stocks and bonds, that are just ether when you get right down to it, look at a slide in the market and say, ooh, my paper disappeared. You know, a slide in your house value, you don't say, oh, my house disappeared. Or a slide in your factory value, oh, my capital equipment disappeared. Or a slide in your income, you don't say, oh, my labor disappeared. Or my entrepreneurship ability, capability as a human disappeared. No. The real value always stays intact, the four pillars of economic production. You as labor, entrepreneurship, land and natural resources, and capital equipment stay intact. Why it's all important is because the illusion of our economy robs us of our freedom also. We're going to be right back after a few brief messages. I appreciate everybody being with us on this first day for many workday of the new year. This is Dr. Nick Begich, and you're listening to Infowars.com.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's a clip from the Rachel Ray Show testing the results of Instantly Ageless.
Board certified dermatologist Dr. Whitney Bowe.
If you're looking to try to turn back the clock on a budget, you know, in the privacy of your own home, but actually there's some recent technologies emerging, almost like changes the behavior of the skin while it sits on the skin.
She went off to try a product called Instantly Ageless.
Yeah.
Instantly, you could see a difference. Even the cameraman were like, wow, look at the difference.
Yeah.
But I would definitely use this product.
This product, within minutes of applying it, it was actually a very dramatic rejuvenation.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockheed Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockheedPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockheedPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockheedPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones. And now, your host, Nick Baggage.
And welcome back to Infowars.com. I always forget to plug my own website. I better do that now. And it's EarthPulse.com, EARTHPULSE, EarthPulse.com. And I urge folks to take a look at what we have there. And all of our products are at the Info Store. And so check that out at Infowars.com. Our books, our videos are all there. And when you get it through the Info Wars network, you support Alex, you support me, and you support all of the guys and women in the booth behind the scene that you never get to see. Keep operating this network and allow us to do what we do. You know, before the break, I've been talking quite a bit about tying the knot, you know, in terms of how all this flows together and what's happened and why it's important. You know, when we think about sort of the hijacking of even the concept of basic economics, you know, capitalism and what it offers in opportunity for the average person was always this chance to do what the big guy does. And what's happened is the rules have changed so dramatically that the big guy keeps getting bigger and the little guy keeps getting the boot on the neck, you know, by virtue of regulation that's so complex we can't deal with it, or literally pushing us out of the marketplace and then restricting it. And now you see the tie-in of a technocracy with globalist agendas and bankers. They even shut down media, the opportunity to even have a conversation. You want to talk about fundamental flaw in the system? These organizations that have attacked InfoWars, Alex Jones and others, this is the problem, ladies and gentlemen. These are it's not just about political speech, which is sort of where we started talking about nonprofits and the illusion of them. You know, a lot of the law is written and then we're sold this story that eventually gets so embedded in the population, we no longer question it. Like the story of a nonprofit, the story of how corporations work. And then we forget valuable components of that story that actually are a choke on your freedom and your liberty. And you need to make sure you unshackle the choke by recognition of the rules. And then you can play by the rules. You know, you want to play like the big guys, and you better study the rules. And you find out that most of them, you're exempted because the way they're structured keeps small people out. And it's designed that way. So you're exploited, you're treated like chattel, and now you're taxed like a slave, something that was unconstitutional. It was considered the same as slavery, as repugnant as slavery is. That's how it ought to feel. To be taxed to the point that we are taxed, where as much as a third of our labor for productive individuals in this country is taken from us and redistributed, and 20% of the productive yield of corporations is. Now, if corporations are going to have political speech and people are going to have political speech, we ought to have some equity in influencing our government and not having our resources, our cash, between the four factors of production removed from us so freely by those taxing authorities. You know, equity and taxation would be a nice start if you want to measure humans against corporation, because we're still on the short end of that deal, ladies and gentlemen, and have been for quite some time. Individuals' worldwide income has always been taxed for American citizens. No matter where you go, no matter where you raise and gain your money, you're taxed here. Now, there's a few little deals they make you, but basically you're taxed in the U.S. And if you're a corporation, up until Donald Trump, you didn't get taxed at all on that foreign income. And you could play the shell game of tax-free jurisdictions, the Bahamas, the Grand Caymans, Malta, and other places where they set up shop. Or Ireland, where the tax base was only 5% for corporations, and these companies did that to offshore their profit center, so they put their intellectual property, their patents and copyrights there, and lease those to their U.S. constituents, so they made zero in the biggest market in the world, zero profit in America. It all got made by this obscure little company with one person in their office answering the phone, maybe. And this is how they skirted U.S. taxes for decades, until Donald Trump decided, hey, we're going to do the Tax Reform Act and we're going to dip into the pocket of these foreign companies, including his own. You know, he had foreign operations and now they're paying U.S. taxes, including his own. Okay? So taxing at an equitable rate, considering what does a U.S. corporation get for that little bit of taxation they're paying? They get the full force and power of the United States military to back up their overseas assets, which is, incidentally, where we always end up fighting wars over America's interests. Whose interests? Yours? Mine? I don't think so. Most of these are globalist interests, international bankers' interests, who like to keep the game going. And the way international bankers collect is you make sure they have an adversary on the other side, and you bank them both. Everybody pays. That's what they got going. Now, you look at the Middle East, and I've asked this question in recent days because of all the controversy. Trump is pulling us out. That's one of his promises. Hey, I thought it was a promise of our republic, actually, that we would stay out of these foreign affairs, you know, that don't concern us, like Syria. What in the hell are we doing in Syria, for God's sake? What's our interest there? Somebody define why American blood is being spilled there for me as an American. Afghanistan, I get it. We were there to knock out the Taliban. Okay, mission accomplished. Ta-da! And then the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq that were never there because they were never there. Ta-da! Hey, let them have their own governments back. Let us withdraw. If they go into revolution, maybe it's what they deserve or are entitled to, depending on how you look at it, because the installed governments of the United States may not be their preferred government, and that might not come as a surprise to many listeners of this broadcast. The fact of the matter is, we're watching this play by the Democrats about Russian interference with our elections. Well, we try to unwind, under the Trump administration, three regime changes, Afghanistan, Iraq, and Syria, that we tried and failed at. Regime change. Now, if that's interfering with an election, I don't know what is. But having said that, you know, again, let's think back at the Founding Fathers' premise that engaging in these foreign adventures was not part of the original formula and really isn't part of the American character. It's get in at the last minute when our asses are really on the line, and most of the time that isn't happening. Most of the time, nobody's assets are on the line except some globalist corporation or some banker who's made a bad bet. Well, why should we keep covering their losses with military, with our treasury, with our debt, bailing these kind of people out of their problems? We did it with the SNLs, we did it with commercial banks, then we did it with a bunch of corporations. Meanwhile, looking at humans again, the nation's youth are saddled with $1 trillion in debt from student loans that they cannot escape, even under the bankruptcy codes. Corporations can escape every debt they have under the bankruptcy codes, but you can't because the bank has your kids by the neck. Had we spent that money, that $1 trillion of the bailout, paying off those student loans, you know what would have happened to the U.S. economy? Step on the gas, ladies and gentlemen, because people would have been buying homes and consumer goods and things that they've been able to had to put off to pay interest to bankers on debts that were too high, on institutions that were overpriced, and where there's no throttle on the on any of it. It's just wide open and exploit the people and enslave them from college on out. And that's what we've seen. You know, I mean, we could have done something different. It would have been the Jubilee Day in the nation to free our young people of the burden of their debt. And instead, we freed shareholders and bankers of the burden of theirs, and we saddled our grandchildren with them. Welcome to America in the 21st century. I'm so glad to be a part of InfoWars.com and this network, because this is where change begins, with real information and an empowered population in this century. We'll be right back in the next segment when we come again on InfoWars.
Pain in my neck, back, and shoulders has really gotten worse.
Relief for body pain is here with Sunny Bay Heating Pads.
Well, the last thing I want is to take another pill, so what's so good about Sunny Bay Heating Pads?
Sunny Bay Heating Pads, made by Biomed DB Design right here in the USA, come in all sizes. Our extra-large microwavable heating pad for back pain is designed to be large enough to cover your entire back. It's also perfect to wrap around your legs, knees, or shoulder and neck.
But I need to know they're good quality.
Of course. Sunny Bay
Holiday heating pads and pillows are often an Amazon choice. And it's easy and most affordable when you purchase your Sunny Bay heating pads right from our website, sunshinepillows.com. Or call us, 253-678-1361.
Hey, a Sunny Bay heating pad
would make a great gift, right?
Yes, and they start at just $19.99 and free shipping is available. So call 253-678-1361 or shop for your Sunny Bay heating pad at sunshinepillows.com.